We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support. Let's go.
Ready for 8 days without a bagel. Tell the story, gather around the table of how we gave the slip to Battle Pharaoh.
It's time for the matzah feast. It's time for the matzah feast.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Simon. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with Rabbi Tuvia Telden, who's written a new book, Eight Paths of Purpose. This is especially poignant now since most people are sitting and sheltering in place and thinking, what am I doing with myself? We've got lots of wonderful a cappella music throughout the show as we are in the weeks between Passover and Shavuos, which was in the end of May, and we are in a quasi-state of mourning. Jews, one of the things that we do to commemorate this quasi-state of mourning, which we'll talk about sometime in the next couple of weeks, is we refrain from listening from instrumental music. But we do have the rest of the show has quite the same. We've got the portion of the week, which is a portion of Tazria Mitzora, which can be found in the book of Leviticus chapter 12 and following. We've got a wonderful Hasidic story at the end of the show. Stay all the way through. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel was again on lockdown for the last day of Passover. Bakeries did not open until Friday morning, even though the holiday was over on Wednesday night. Family celebrations after the holiday, including the Sephardic Mamuna Festival, were banned. Prime Minister Netanyahu has decided to reopen the economy with certain restrictions. Commerce, manufacturing, and services will return to partial activity in compliance with the rules of disinfection, social distancing, testing for fever, wearing masks, and additional requirements to be formulated by the Ministry of Health. Total cases of corona in Israel as of Friday stands at just shy 13,000 with 150 deaths. A large percentage of Israel's corona deaths have been in nursing homes. The Kinneret, get some good news over here. The Kinneret, Israel's largest reservoir, is less than 6 feet short of the full line. Experts say that they will need to let water out of the lake sometime in May. So this is the first time in 24 years. Closer to home, local incidences of anti-Semitism. Police in Huntsville and Alabama are looking for someone who spray-painted Nazi slogans on the conservative synagogue and Chabad house in the city. The perpetrator was caught on security footage. A man was arrested and charged with attempted arson at a Jewish-sponsored assistance living facility in Springfield, Massachusetts, and a synagogue in the northern city of Archangelsk, that's the best I can do with that one, was severely damaged in a fire that the local Jewish community said was caused by arsonists. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Michigan. The census is confidential, and personal information cannot be shared with any agency. And you won't be asked about citizenship or immigration status. Don't let rumors, misunderstandings, and misinformation prevent you from filling out the census this spring. It's only 9 questions and takes about 10 minutes, so count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins. To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's myvoicecounts.org.
Joel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Before I get into our guest, just a reminder that the Census Day was April 2nd, and if you haven't done it, you're recalcitrant, and you should feel ashamed of yourself. So go to your computer and do it immediately, as the census takers are going to be knocking on your door and not coming until at least mid-June at this point. So save them the hassle and save the country a little bit of money by not having to hire so many of them. Do that today, please, right after you get done listening to this show. We have on the line a very good friend of mine, Rabbi Tuvia Telden of Chabad of Long Island. He is Chabad of Long Island and has written a book, The 8 Paths of Purpose. And we'd like to welcome you to the Jewish Hour, Rabbi Tuvia Telden.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Feynman. It's a pleasure to speak to you again.
The pleasure is all mine. Okay, so this is a book, one of these books, just the idea of purpose seems to be one of those words which are floating around, especially in a situation that people find themselves in. Tell us, what was the impetus behind writing this book, 8 Paths of Purpose?
Well, I've been writing this book, believe it or not, for the last 28 years. 28 years ago, my son, my firstborn son, passed away as a result of a disease that he had been born with. We went through a real roller coaster for about 13 years. And after his death, I was very conflicted. Of course, as a rabbi, people were asking me questions, and people were wondering, is this affecting my belief in God, my belief in Judaism, which it was not at all. But at the same time, I had these questions. Well, why would God allow for something like this to happen? And what is the purpose of all this? And of course, with time, this developed into a lot of research and a lot of digging deep into myself and into different ideas, different sources, different books that I had studied as a yeshiva student in order to try to figure things out. And I'm just sharing with everybody some of the conclusions that I came to.
Okay, so usually, I mean, one of the pat answers is that we tell people, when some people, they come to me, Rabbi, why did this happen? So the first thing that they say is I don't do why God questions. You have to ask God that. And if God gives you the answer, well, that's very well and good. But we can resign ourselves that his ways are not our ways, and God says my thoughts are not your thoughts, and hopefully everything's all for the good. That didn't seem to be enough for you, though, Tuvia.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I really had to do this research for my own personal, emotional, and spiritual survival. So I was not satisfied with just taking that answer, and I wanted to really dig deeper and find out what the sources are all about. So it came down to really trying to figure out why God allows there to be such negativity in the world. And it's sometimes so overwhelming, as we see even today. People are facing just incredible obstacles and conflict and stress and tension in their life, and why was the world created in such a way? So there's a very interesting midrash. This is just one of many points that I bring up in the book. And it says that when God created the world, he looked at it on the sixth day at the conclusion of creation, and he said that it's now tov ma'od, which means that it's very good. And there's a very interesting commentary going back about 1,500 years, which means that God created the good as good, the good inclination that we all have, and he created the ma'od, it's very good. Why? Because God created the negativity in the world. And that just piqued my curiosity, what that was all about. And the more I went into it, the more I realized that there has to be that balance in life. We have to have that ability to be able to choose, to make choices, to deal with conflicts, to overcome obstacles, to deal with the real nitty-gritty of what life is all about in order to be able to have accomplishment. Of course, death is an ultimate slap in the face and a punch in the stomach, and even that we have to be able to overcome and be able to build on and to survive and continue.
Okay, so I think you may have just answered my next question, which was you weren't satisfied with the pat rabbinic answer of everything that God does is good. You wanted to have more everything God is good, because we look around, and we see that to us it doesn't appear good, but even though we resign ourselves, that ultimately everything is good.
Right. So I didn't want to just resign myself in the sense that I knew that there must be more answers than that. Ultimately, what you said is the answer, that God is the infinite source. He is the boss. He's running the show. He hasn't deserted the cockpit. He's still flying this plane, and everything he does has a plan and a purpose. Question was, really, well, what is the overall purpose? So as we know, those who study Hasidic thought, and I'm sure you've had some explanations about it in the past on your show, that God wants that we in this world, living in this world that's seemingly devoid of godliness, that we should be able to bring God into this world and make it a garden, make it a very special place where God will feel comfortable. So the question is, how do you do that? If you have an inner conflict, that you're kind of adapting this belief in God where it's, okay, I have to believe because that's what the good book says, or it's what the rabbis say. But on the other hand, I don't understand and I can't get this. So it's very hard to create that real sense of God being part of my life when I'm still carrying around that inner conflict.
Okay, understand. Our guest today is Rabbi Tuvia Telden. He is the chief rabbi of Chabad of Long Island and has written a wonderful little compendium of 8 paths of purpose and trying to direct people as to finding purpose in their life. Let's get even more basic. Why is it necessary that people need to feel purposeful? Why can't I just, like, I wake up in the morning, I get dressed, I go to work, I come home, I do whatever I do, what my hobbies are, I eat dinner or watch television, whatever I do at night, and I go to sleep and I do the same thing next time, and then once in a while I go on vacation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, without even wondering about the big picture, Rabbi Tuvia Telden.
Right, that's a great question. And the fact is that nobody's required to have some type of philosophical basis to their life. We all live day-to-day, very mundane lives, and there are many people who are fulfilling a purpose without even thinking of the fact that they're fulfilling a purpose. A person brings up children and tries to bring good people into this world, they're fulfilling a purpose. Today, one of their purposes, in fact, one of the 8 paths, is survival. And today we're dealing with that purpose on a daily basis, something we normally never even think about. But on a Tuesday in 2019, we were fulfilling that purpose also, just by surviving and just by having our financial security. So I'm not endorsing that everybody has to, so to say, transform their life and become purposeful. But I do believe, and I do see, in fact, and I think everybody can see, that people who feel that purpose and they connect to it, they align themselves to it, they resonate with it, that they're more driven, that there's a certain sense of destiny that they have, that there's certain extra energy that they have. They are able to overcome obstacles perhaps with greater ease. They're able to aspire to perhaps higher heights when they feel that purpose. And that purpose, as I write, can be enclosed in many, many different types of endeavors. So I'm not trying to in any way change people in the sense that they should all of a sudden become possessed by this sense of purpose.
Okay, let's look at it the other way. You have somebody who has gone through some kind of some sort of life-changing event, or let's just say the person is fallen into a depression and feels their life is purposeless. What are they going to do to jumpstart themselves? What can they do? Especially somebody who's lying in bed saying, life's not worth it. I'm just going to lie here and eat candy bars until I can't think of anything else to do.
Very good question. I think that part of what I write is that every single human being at their core base feels that in some small way they would like to see the world be a better place. They would like to be able to create an environment that for their children would be better than what they had. Even if it's a small little flame, a flickering flame that a person feels while they're sitting in bed eating that candy, that itself is a unique human trait. That's something that the most advanced primate or the smartest porpoise doesn't even think about. So I think when a person perhaps can connect to that part of themselves where they feel, you know, I can do something, even if it's something very, very small, something to make my life better, then that would be a motivating factor for them to be able to get out of bed and do something even once a week. I tell the story about a woman who, an elderly woman, she had great accomplishments. She had a great resume, but she was retired and she lost a lot of her friends and she really was very bored and she felt absolutely no purpose in life. And then a friend of hers approached her and said, how would you like to go with me to visit a nursing home once a week? And she said, okay, I'll do that. And as a result, just for that once a week, she was able to feel, now I have a purpose in life. So establishing a person with a purpose in life doesn't mean conquering the world and going on this great journey. It can be in the small, little, mundane things of life that feed that desire for purpose that a human being by nature wants to aspire to.
I had a rabbi when I was in yeshiva. When I was in yeshiva, I would get bored. When I get bored, I just kind of like become lackadaisical. And the rabbi told me that I always needed to have a goal, just a project, something I had to do. And he said, for example, he was kind of tough, and he said, Finman, I'm going to give you a project. In the next 2 weeks, I want you to memorize 5 blot Gemara Rashi Tosfos. Like, I looked at him and went, what? Why should I do that? And he said, because if you don't, I'm throwing you out of the yeshiva. So it got me, it did kind of get my part of my anatomy in gear. And since then, I've taken that advice. Is I've always had something I want to do. There's always something I look forward to doing. And so, and I'm also recalling a story involving a rabbi from Australia who came to visit the Rebbe when the Rebbe was around 72 years old. And the rabbi said, go back and tell Rabbi so-and-so that I want him to get involved with this in this project. And the Australian rabbi said to the Rebbe he's an old man. And he said, I heard this from the rabbi, it's an Australian rabbi. He said, the rabbi sat up in full height and said, I'm older than he is, and I have projects for the next 10 years. And when I get done with those, I have projects for the next 10 years after that. So it seems like if a person just keeps on focusing on something to get to, rather than where they are right now, it seems to be the answer. Yes, Rabbi Tuvia Telden?
Well, I'll tell you, and I think you're absolutely right. Everybody needs a goal, but I try in the book to take it one step further. And what I'm trying to do is help people to establish not just things that they can keep busy with that are meaningful activities that will give them a goal in life and will keep them busy. I'm trying to get people to be in touch with what is your individual purpose in life. And this is where we get into, you know, we can talk now about things like Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, and about how Hashem is creating every single situation we're in on a daily basis and creates those things that really make us who we are and make the environment in that we're in and living in what it is, and creating us with our personality, that there are things that are sitting there right before us that really require our input, that we have the unique ability to be able to address, and that we're in a position to be able to try to fix. And this is part of Tikkun Olam, is fixing those things that are in our immediate environment, fixing ourselves, bettering life for people that are within our sphere of influence, or volunteering for programs and activities that are around us. So there are things that are very, very specific to us that when we take full ownership of our life and ownership of our position in life, we can find these things that are calling us, really, that are talking to us and saying, I'm here for you. You are the one that needs to fix me, and you're the one who is in that unique position to help this little person, or to teach that person something, or to reach out to somebody in need, or to go to that guy who's sitting on the couch and eating candy all day and say, hey, come on, let's go to the nursing home once a week. So we all have these things that are, number one, as you say, the general types of things that we can do to have a meaningful life and have a goal in life. There's also the things that are specific to us that we have the ability to be able to bring to fruition and to develop their potential and show that we do develop and get involved in fulfilling our purpose through the things that are around us.
Okay, our guest today again is Rabbi Tuvia Telden, Chabad of Long Island, and he has written a book, Eight Paths of Purpose, and we're talking about being purposeful, which is different than, say, mindful, which is another thing we've had those discussions before. So a person starts out in life, everybody's there by the time they hit 18, 20, so then they're in college or in their way to approaching adulthood, and they've picked some kind of a thing that they want to get study in college, for example. And as it turns out, according to statistics, and it might be exactly correct, but about two-thirds of the people who graduate from college don't go into the field that they got their degree from. So how does a person know what their purpose might be, or is it that a person can expect that it's in flux and constantly changing, Rabbi Tuvia Telden?
So the way I look at it is this. Life changes, and we evolve. We grow. We mature. A choice that a person makes when they're 18, 19 years old as far as what their major is going to be is not necessarily going to carry over when they're 23 or so, when they're graduating from a master's program. So as a result, we have to have a certain flexibility in life. We have to be prepared for changes that take place not only in life in general and the environment we live in, but also within ourselves. And as a result, if we look at college as a time to develop skills, that those skills are skills we're going to need no matter what we go into, and we try to fine-tune them to be able to apply them to whatever draws us and calls our name once we are in a position to look for a job and a source of income. That would perhaps be a better approach than getting stuck in any one particular type of a field. Of course, if a person is going for law, they're in law school, it's very specific. If they're going for medicine, they're in med school, it's very specific. But most of the liberal arts and many areas of business leave open the possibility that we can go into a lot of different types of fields as we mature and as we grow.
Okay, let's maybe take us through some of this. People, for the most part, are sheltering at home, and I am reminded there was a book which was written by Rabbi Avram Tversky. We interviewed him on it a couple of years ago. The title of was something like, Without My Job, Who Am I? And so people are sitting home. A lot of people have lost their jobs, and they're not really doing things. So what should they be doing as they're sitting at home, Rabbi Tuvia Telden?
So my advice to people, and I've spoken to a number of people about this, because in Long Island here we've really been hit very hard by coronavirus, and there's a very high unemployment rate, and I tell them, listen, you have a major change in your life right now. You're facing something that you haven't faced perhaps in your whole existence. But that doesn't mean that we look to the past and just compare our situation today to the past. What we need to do is look to the future. And the difference is when we're looking to the past, we got a problem. I was employed last month and now I'm not employed. When we look to the future, we just have challenges. And the challenge is, how am I going to make a living, supply something for my family, and enjoy life in a way which I have up till now, perhaps through a different means? When we apply that creativity and we do it with a passion, as if this is my purpose in life right now, I need to be industrious, I need to be creative, I need to not fetch and not just complain and not feel sad for myself and turn into a victim, and that's not going to produce anything, and that's not a purposeful way of living. A purposeful way of living is to realize that every moment, every change that takes place, is really coming from above, and there's a reason why I'm specifically going through this now at this stage of my life, and now I need to rise to the occasion, apply what I've learned, what I know, what I believe in, what I feel, and what I need to do for my family, which is I have to do what needs to be done. So I think it really shifts gears as far as how we approach the situation that we're in now.
Okay, so let's talk about you personally, if you don't mind. So 28 years ago, you were left with the show. You, Rabbi Tuvia Telden, and your Mrs. Telden, were left with an unfortunate challenge. And so how have you turned that challenge around and made it something into a positive?
So when you lose a child, you you know, the emotions, the tears, the feelings, at least for me personally, just consumed me for a year or two. It was very hard to see above, go beyond that loss and that mourning, that grief in any way whatsoever. And I had to go through that transformation, which was a very physical, organic transformation of trying to just go beyond that sense of grief. From that point on, I decided that, listen, you know, I believe 100% my son, Baruch Nissen, Olam Shalom, had a purpose in life. I believe that God had a reason why he sent him to this world for 15 years. I believe that the ripple effect of his life is something that I would like to keep going. That's one of the reasons why I put my time and energy into writing this book and researching all these issues. And I put myself back into my shlichus as being a shlich of the Lubavitcher Rebbe to really try as best as possible to focus on that as being the purpose I'm here in this world and the reason why I need to accomplish something.
Okay, so how, I'm going to ask this question like in a backward way. Is how much of, would you say, your purpose, your getting up in the morning, the from 1977, going from one Chabad house to 2020 to having 38 Chabad houses, how much of the impetus was that was the death of your son?
I don't know if I would say that it was an impetus as a result of the death of my son, but there's no question that I was a different person after my son passed on, and after even years afterwards, as far as my attitude towards life, my attitude towards people with special needs, my attitude towards dealing with individuals, my when we're in our 30s and we're ambitious and we look at the world as, you know, I have to conquer it and I have to, you know, have to do these great things, I didn't see the importance of that anymore. I felt, listen, get down to brass tacks and be kind to people and try to help people and realize that when a person is down and out, which I was very often during that period of time, even when he was sick and we were struggling and he was going in and out of the hospitals on a regular basis, and you realize what it's like to really be on the underside of things. And that, I think that brings out a lot of compassion in a person, and it changes our attitude towards how we operate and how we function and how we deal with situations. I look back at things that I said as a rabbi to people who came to me for help before Baruch's passing, and I can't believe I said some of those things because I was doing it just on the basis of hearsay or just different things I thought would be the right thing to say. But once you go through something that is so life transformational, you really start talking a different language. And hopefully in some way that helped me in my work and it helped me reach out to people and touch people and be able to succeed in gathering momentum for building up and eventually hiring all the rabbis and rabbisons that we have here in Long Island. I would guess it had something to do with that.
Was there any one moment, like an epiphany, where you suddenly ha-ha, and suddenly like the light turned on for you and you said, this is what I need to be doing now?
No, not really. I think, thank God, as a shliach, I've always felt since the Rebbe sent us on shlichus here that it was a great honor and it was something that I really wanted to challenge myself to try to be the best shliach I could be for the Rebbe and to do the most that I could do. So I think that was, for me, I didn't need that epiphany of all of a sudden feeling that I had some special purpose. I really thank God we felt that purpose from the very beginning, and we continue to feel that purpose today.
Okay, that's going to do it. Again, our guest today has been Rabbi Tuvia Telden from Chabad of Long Island. Has written a book, wonderful book, 8 Paths of Purpose. It is published by Outskirts Press. I put the link on my Facebook page, which if you need to listen to this on podcast or watch it on my Facebook page. It's usually hard to watch it now since I'm not even in the studio, but it's there, and you can just click on it, and you can order the book, and it's It's a great read. It's an easy read. It kept me up. Shri Yishol Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, when we stay up all night. And so I went right through it from cover to cover. And thank you so much for coming on, and we wish you continued success.
We also have a website, 8pathsofpurpose.com. People can go there if they have any information and they want to know more about the book or order the book from there as well. But thank you very much, Rabbi Simon, for the opportunity of sharing a little bit about my journey and about the ideas that are in the book. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Best wishes to your audience.
Thank you so much. It's going to do it. We wish you all the best. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Compass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Yes, Dr. Bruce Rubin of Compass Care wants to know if you have corona. It's not just limited to Oakland County anymore, but because he's doing mostly everything by telemedicine, which has become one of those new words now. But call 248-624-9800 if you're experiencing corona symptoms or know anybody who's experiencing corona-like symptoms. Again, 248-624-9800. Up next, some beautiful a cappella music. This is 613, one of the standard groups, and this is Seder Crew.
Doom, 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 doom. Clean the house and got rid of the hummus. Now the Seder's where I go. Me and my fam at the table eating matzah like the Hebrews long ago. So come over, we start Passover Seder by blessing the wine. Then we wash in our hands. Then we grab parsley, dip it in the salt water, and break the middle matzah in half.
And now we're singing like, girl, you know I want matzah. Matzah was handmade by my father before me. Thanking God that we were freed, let out of slavery in Mitzrayim. Say, boys, now we'll drink four cups, spill four the plates, and go on with the magid. Thanking God that we were freed, thanking God that we were freed.
I'm feeling love from my Seder crew. Gonna rock out the Dayenu. Chagad Yalah and Nadir Hu. Next year in Yerushalayim. Tonight family fills the room. And the kitchen smells like soup. For 8 days we're saying thank you to God who took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim. For 8 days we're saying thank you to God who took us out of Mitzrayim.
Questions again before the meal can begin. And eat the matzah our forefathers ate. They had to leave swiftly. No time to add yeast. Now we've got unleavened bread on the plate. Take a bite of the marrow so we remember the horrors of our lives as Egyptians place. And for roasted to that, we put it on matzah and then eat hillel sandwich, then shulchan aray.
And we're singing like, girl, you know I want matzah. Matzah was handmade by my papi for me. Thanking God that we were freed, let out of slavery in Mitzrayim. Say, boys, now we'll drink four cups, spill four the plates, and go on with the magid. Thanking God that we were freed, thanking God that we were freed. Dayenu,
feeling love from a Seder crew. Gonna rock out the Dayenu. Chagad Yalah and Nadir Hu. Next year in Yerushalayim. Tonight family fills the room. And the kitchen smells like soup. For 8 days we're saying thank you to God who took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Took us out of Mitzrayim. Took us out of Mitzrayim. Now you knew it. I'm feeling love from my Seder crew.
Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on, Bobby Zadie, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on. To the Seder, come on.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's MI for Michigan, KO for kosher, and SUP for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. I promised a couple weeks ago that we'd be playing this. This is one of my favorites. It's actually, it's a Passover song. It's close enough still to Passover. We could still be playing Passover songs. This a cappella stuff goes on for another 6 weeks. So as we get further away from Passover, so Passover is going to seem kind of stale. We'll have to look for other stuff. But this is Shulam Lemmer singing Moshe Osher's Chad Gad Yah.
Chad Gad Yah, Chad Gad Yah, Chad Gad Yah, Chad Gad Yah. The Zabin Nabo, the Zabin Nabo, the Zabin Abdubus, the Zabin Abdubus, the Zabin Abdubus, the Zabin Abdubus, Zavram tuv srizu ze yavram tavram aydridim khat gad yu khat gad yu khat gad yu khat gad yu yos shul od yakhlol gad yu dizabnabu zavram tuv srizu ze yavram tavram aydridim khat gad yu khat gad yu trita yvidik zavram tuv srizu ze yavram tavram aydridim khat gad yu khat gad yu khat gad yu khat gad yu yos ma yudikulinir disura
The census is confidential, and personal information cannot be shared with any agency. And you won't be asked about citizenship or immigration status. Don't let rumors, misunderstandings, and misinformation prevent you from filling out the census this spring. It's only 9 questions and takes about 10 minutes, so count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins. To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's myvoicecounts.org.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. I suppose there's going to be a new genre of music. It's already starting to come about. The Zoom format, where you have people that are stuck at home, and you have these musicians, and they have to be creative, so they do their things. I've just seen some very, really wonderful pieces that have come out, and somehow they get mixed into some places, got some kind of a something, and they get put up there on YouTube. This piece is Shira. Shira Choir is a men's choir located in Brooklyn. And it's very interesting. They're all where they're supposed to be. And this song is Stardust, which is, it's not necessarily Jewish, but it is Jewish. It's always played at weddings, like in between when people are sitting down and eating. So everybody knows the tune. Let's listen to them doing it. It's total a cappella.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion is the portion of Tazria Mitzora. It's a double portion. And the reason why there are two portions read is because it just so happens that there are more portions in the Torah than there are weeks in the year. So we double up about a half a dozen of them or so. And this happens to make sense because this is a one single unit. And I actually enjoy, even though it's longer, but I enjoy when Tazria Mitzora put together because we are done with this situation, which is discussed in this week's portion, which is all one single thing, and that's the plague, since we're talking about plagues, of Tsaras, which was a skin disease which was meted out for spiritual shortcomings. It's talked about in the books that there were 13 reasons why somebody got Tsaras. And I want to mention at this point that it does say in the Talmud in a couple places that all sickness comes from sin except a cold, a coronavirus, as the case may be, because that just comes from not taking care of yourself, not staying home. If you stay home and you don't let anybody in your house and you're careful to wash your hands and even take the mail, and with me, I take the mail and like by the end of the corner of it, and as soon as I just put it down and I let it sit for a couple of days because there's nothing that's that pressing, and I wash my hands immediately after I bring it in because you don't know where that stuff's been. And can I be over-paranoid? Yeah, you could be over-paranoid for this. It's kind of like Passover. My grandmother used to say everybody's craziness on Passover is okay. So if you want to be over-cautious with dealing with pandemics, I think it's a good thing. So we're talking here. This was not something which happened very often. And in fact, it says that, for example, when one of the major contributors to people getting this plague of Tsaras, which even the Haftarah talks about four people who got it, but they didn't get it for this reason, but for the speaking about other people, gossiping, Lashon Hara, as it's called, which is translated as bad speak. So when it says in the Talmud that when there were too many people that were speaking bad about others, and they were, in other words, this was a warning sign. And when the purpose of a warning sign is to warn you, don't do what you're doing. But if people weren't heeding the warning sign, God said, why should I bother? We'll have to deal with them. What was the antidote to a person breaking out with spots? What happened, for example, is he got this white spot somewhere on his skin. And he would go to a Kohen, a priest, and the Kohen would determine if it was the dreaded Tsaras, or if it was some sort of other skin malaise. And if it was a skin malaise, he would send him to a dermatologist. And if it was Tsaras, he would send him out of the community. There was an area outside. You remember the movie Ben-Hur, The Valley of the Lepers? Not exactly the same thing, because this is not Hansen's disease. People did get better with this, and sometimes even as little as a week. Because what the person had to do was go into isolation. Doesn't that sound familiar? And this isolation was a time when a person, and if anybody approached him, he had to say, Matsura, Matsura, I got this stuff. Stay away from me. It wasn't contagious, but the person had to say, we're going back to Rabbi Tuvia Telden, what is my purpose? Why am I here now? What can I do to make the world a better place? The portion of Tazria comes very often in conjunction with Passover, always following it. Sometimes it follows it immediately, like in this year. Sometimes it follows it a couple weeks later, like in a leap year. So it's always like right afterwards. So what's the deal with Passover? Passover, the lesson is, so there must be a connection. That's always what we always say. Passover, what's the deal? Is we're always looking for a way to go out of our Egypt. How are we going to do more and better than yesterday, without getting more neurotic? Even in the situation where you find yourselves now, there's always something that you could do better. Like, if you'll go to my Facebook page, so we have different classes now that are going on. Jewish Ferndale is not operating. The doors are shut. And it's like I tell people, the only problem we really have is going to be the community garden, because weeds don't know about pandemics. And I don't know what's going to happen, say, June, if we don't get people over there. But somehow I think if we call out the call for volunteers and let people come and tell them that they can weed a certain little patch, please get in touch with me at rabbifinman.com. And there's always going to be weeds to pull. And we'll always do it in Central. There won't be more than one person doing the weeding at a time. So, but those weeds got to come out, and we'll be planting stuff, of course, as we do. And our surplus this year, if we're not going to be opening up, so our surplus will be going to, like, Yad Ezra, and to help feeding the hungry. And there's people out there that are really, the other day, right before Passover, so there was a long line down Oak Park Boulevard, and they were lined up to get food parcels from Forgotten Harvest, which had set up its huge trucks right in the parking lot at Oak Park Park. So this is unfortunately indicative of what's happening with the pandemic, and Jewish Friend will be there to help. So we're always looking for ways to do it, how to improve ourselves, how to go beyond, how to get better. Speaking of beyond and better, we've got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Encompass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to rabbifinman.com. There you'll find me. You'll find your connect page, you know, and we will send me an email, and I'll send you one back. There's also archived editions of the show. There's plenty to listen to. Now, if you're sitting home and you're getting bored, hey, go to rabbifinman.com. There's lots of stuff to do over there, too. We have videos of posted of yours truly, and I had my, for many years, did a YouTube U Parsha, as it was called, in Hasidic U Story. Classes over there are I put a lot of work into those classes, and sometimes I listen to them myself just to remind myself what they were. And there's also, by the way, there's a donation page. Yes, people this week did get their CARES package, whatever, so it'd be good if you could give some of that, a little bit. You're supposed to give something to charity. So give go to RabbiFinman.com, and let's keep Jewish Radio and Jewish Ferndale and all the projects that we're involved with that are still costing money, believe it or not, even though the doors are locked. Okay, expenses are less, but not really, believe it or not, not that much less. The only thing we're really saving on at this point is utilities, and even that, it still charges for those. So go to RabbiFinman.com, go to the Nations page, make a nice donation, and you'll be happy you did. Jewish Radio, as the Jewish Hour has been online, has been on air and online now for 25 years. Do it today. Don't hesitate. This coming Thursday, or this, depending when you're listening to it, might be when it was, but the 29th of Nisan this year, which corresponds to the 23rd of April, is the passing of Rabbi Yeshua, Avram Yeshua Heschel of Apta, known as the Ohev Yisroel. He was called the Ohev Yisroel because he loved everybody, and he was just a really wonderful person people came from. So he was called the Rabbi of Apta, which Apta is in central Poland, even though he was only the rabbi there for 9 years. And he was a formidable person. He was known for his righteousness, and actually, after a very short time, even though he was a young man, he was known as a miracle worker and attracted people. But after 9 years, he decided he's going to take a position in the Romanian city, which is now the Ukrainian city of Yasi, which was a nice-sized Jewish community. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a step up, and he was there for some years and then moved on from there as well. But he always referred to himself as Rabbi Avram Yeshua Heschel of Apta. What was the deal? So in the city of, his father had a brother who was 2 years older than him. And they were separated due to unfortunate circumstances when the older brother was 10 and the other younger brother was 8. The older brother did quite well, moved to Apta, opened up himself a nice business. I think it was a tea business. The other brother went, became a malamed, he became a school teacher. His business was not so great. He was having trouble making ends meet. Unfortunately, the older brother, who was quite wealthy, passed away, leaving his widow childless. Now, there's a rule that when a widow is left childless, the brother of the deceased has to do something called chalitza. It's a whole process whereby he declares he does not want to marry her, and she is allowed to marry somebody else. And she's not allowed to get married to anybody else until they do this chalitza. Now, they had lost touch with each other. And so this woman is an aguna. She's a chained woman. She didn't know where her brother-in-law was. She knew she had a brother-in-law. Her father's been always talked about a brother-in-law, but she had no idea where her brother-in-law was. And so she put out a call. She let it be known that she's going to give half of her husband's estate to her brother-in-law. So word came around, and it came and got to the rabbi of the Avram Yeshua Heschel's father, his rabbi. His rabbi called him in and said, "Did you have an older brother?" He said, "Yeah." He was this old, this description. "Yeah." He said, "I think your brother passed away." He said, "You need to, I'll lend you the money, because it seems like you're going to be a very wealthy man, and you should go there and check it out. You're probably going to be doing this great mitzvah." So he went home and he told his wife about it, and she said, "God forbid you should take any money for this. This is a woman who needs your help. You're not to take a penny." And he said, "Okay." She said, "I want you to promise me." She took out her special sitter, Korban Mincha sitter it's called, and made him take a solemn promise that he was not going to take a penny of her money or any of the rabbi's money either. He was ready to lend him money to travel a first class. So he did travel, and he was found that he was indeed the brother. And if Tony, you could bring the music up underneath me, please. And he was found to be the. They did the ceremony, and he. She said, "I want to give you half the money," and she said, "He said, absolutely not." And he refused to take it, and she said, "It's not my money; it's your money." And she said, "I'm giving this money to the community if you're not going to take it." So Rabbi Avram Yeshua Heschel of Apta demanded a very high salary when he became a rabbi. And after 9 years, he said, "The money, which was rightfully due my father, has now been used up because that money was sitting in escrow waiting for him to come and collect it. He never did. I did. I'm moving on." Speaking of moving on, that's going to do it for us today. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a wonderful week getting back into things as Passover is passed over. I hope to see you back again next week. Take care.